I knew the morning would seem short, but I didn't think it'd be this short. So let's continue here. Assuming that a courtship materializes, a relationship has begun, I want to give 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 6 as a premise, as a verse that you can should have at the forefront of your mind as you go into this relationship. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 6 says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. So in a courting relationship, be deliberate about avoiding defrauding someone. Let's consider how the principle of caring for one another and not defraud one another, considering the well-being of each other in these early stages of the relationship, might look like. I think it's very important that this, the beginning stage here, make sure both of you know each other's intentions. Don't just assume the other person knows. Communicate, verbalize those intentions. I am, young man, you take the lead in this. You tell her, I am in this for this purpose and this purpose only. And that's to see if God would have marriage between us. Be very intentional, very clear. And I think it's only right that the young woman responds in the same way, confirming her intentions. Too many times I think we make the mistake of just assuming. It's not communicated, and then there's that level of uncertainty in the right on the onset of this relationship, and you want to avoid that. So tell her why you've initiated or are initiating with her. We're going to just really skim through this. At this early stage, remember, don't ever forget that neither one of you is or has made a commitment to marry. Sometimes that can be assumed. Well, we went through this whole process. Here we are. We're on base one, and it's assumed that we'll marry. There is no such commitment yet. This is a stage in your journey where you learn to know each other. And some of this learning will be a little bit more surfacey at this point. This is a time where you ask each other questions that will solidify that God is indeed bringing you two together. I would say at this point, you could ask just about any question that you have. Any questions of concern. This goes both ways, man to woman and woman to man. You should have the freedom to involve anyone that knows the other well, whether that be parents, or whether that be some spiritual authorities appointed. But you should have the freedom to involve them in getting to know each other. Some of this probably happened before you ever even initiated, but just remember, agreeing to court is not agreeing to marry. That's the goal if God so leads. That's why you're courting, to find out. You know, there are biblical and there are unbiblical reasons for a man to initiate with a woman, and there are biblical and unbiblical reasons for turning down a man. Both can be done biblically or unbiblically. If you feel that you are not initially attracted to a man who initiates with you as a single woman, then I would just simply ask that you would ask yourself, what is my decision based on? Am I basing my decision on considering, you know, am I considering biblical characteristics in my decision? Is that part of the factor? Or do you have enough information to know that you could not marry this man for whatever reason? What kind of time should couples spend together in this early stage of a relationship? Again, I think some of these practical things will be worked out between the authorities and the courting couple. Remember, the goal is to try to get to know each other. Find out if God would have you marry. So you want to spend enough time together to develop that. One suggestion that I would have for couples starting out that the majority of your time together should be spent with other people. You're just starting to build a relationship. Spend the majority of that time with other people. Preferably with your family and church families. Get to know each other in groups, in a group setting. And you say, well, we did that before we ever initiated and started this courtship. No, this will be different. Trust me, it will be different. But there's a safety in place for you to start off this relationship, spending much of that time with other people. Many people want to start out a relationship by spending a huge amount of time together, which, from a human perspective, I understand. But it's not advisable, and there's a number of reasons for that. The more time you will spend together, and as the relationship progresses, you will spend more time together, but that spending time together builds this emotional intimacy, and you want that to be built at a good, at a healthy rate. You don't want to push this thing and put it to a climax on your second date. When you spend time alone, when I say alone, I'm putting it in the context of where other people are still around. You know, maybe you're back there and there's a group activity happening here. You're in the presence of other people, but you're spending time alone. When you spend time alone, spend it with some activities. Maybe read a book together. Appropriate books, of course. But don't do this in secluded, out of sight of others, in those kind of environments. I think that in these early stages, you should not spend long hours sitting across from each other and just looking into each other's eyes. I don't think you should do that. Again, it has an emotional connection that takes place that is not healthy at this stage. You will bypass many other necessary things if you do that. Things you really need to talk about, you'll bypass those because you have this eye on each other. And it has an emotional effect. So no candlelight dinners at this point. No candlelight dinners. Just skimming through here. What should you talk about? You know, I've had that question asked to me, so, okay, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm going to have our first date. We're starting this courtship relationship, and what do you say? Well, there's a lot of things that you can say. There's some things you shouldn't say. I'll give you some suggestions, but God will take care of that. That nervousness will go away. You'll get a little more comfortable with each other, and you'll learn. But maybe talk about a book you're reading that's blessing you. Maybe talk about a passage of Scripture that you've read that is blessing you and challenging you. And talk about what interests you in the way of hobbies and whatnot. Talk about your walk of faith. Talk about those things going on in your life. Talk about your values. Talk about your priorities, your ambitions, and your plans that you may have. Talk about each other's family. Many things you can talk about. But, like I said, some things you'll need to avoid. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 7 says, tells us to not awaken love before it pleases. And within that premise, I say there's topics to avoid discussing at this stage. As this, you're on first base and this relationship grows, it strengthens, you're on your way to base 2. Not that this is a game, but I'm just trying to get us a visual. You're going on. It's going deeper. Again, I want to stress, be very clear. Be very honest. And be very deliberate. If there's areas of concern, areas of question, you want to talk about those. You want to address those. You want to see if you're understanding each other correctly in some of these matters. It could be the difference of the courtship going on or being terminated at this point. But it's needful. Too many have ended up in a hurt marriage because they did not do this. Just kind of push it to us to the side, and if it's really there, we'll deal with it after we're married. There's enough things that will pop up after you're married that you don't want to bring things in there that you potentially thought could be coming into the marriage. Does that make sense? So now your conversation is going a little deeper than it did, when you initially started. You're going a little deeper. More of your feelings are going to get involved. The topics of discussion will change some. The depth of those topics will change some. And I know you're seeing it. I'm just going like this because we don't have time here this morning. One of the things that you should discuss at this point is the call of God that you sense on each other's lives. You for the man for himself, the lady for herself. Very important in this relationship, because you do not want that to collide after you're married. You must understand the heartbeat of each other. If one feels very strongly called to missions and the other does not, it can work, but it will be tough. But if you have this discussion and you have this understanding, clear understanding of each other, let's say the man feels called to missions, and the ladies, I really don't have that call. I'm not saying you also have to have that call, but this is the time where you then need to evaluate, can I submit myself and support this man? Could I be a supporting spouse to him? If the answer is you can't see yourself going down that road, then it's better to terminate the courtship. But if you say, yeah, I don't have that same calling, I don't sense it, but I can support him, praise God. That's part of your calling as a woman anyway. And I say missions, maybe it's specifically foreign missions, which is puts a different dynamic to it. Okay, you get through that phase. Things are moving along. Again, like I said, people should either get married or break the courting relationship within a year or so of beginning it. If you can't get married, then break it. But now you're moving on and you're very careful that you have been and you continue to be very careful not to defraud each other. It's progressing. As the relationship progresses, so does your emotional connection progresses. It deepens, it heightens, it strengthens. And the physical naturally follows that progression. And that's natural. That's the way it should be. It's the expected thing to happen. At this point, you will desire, that desire to spend time together with each other will grow tremendously. The desire to know each other on a more intimate level will grow. The deep things, deeper things, like questions that you didn't feel liberty to ask before, now you might be asking. There's a passion that is growing, that's rising within both of you. And all of this is, it's natural. It's coming to a climax. And when I say a climax, it's bringing you to the place of where you say, yes, let's get married. We feel God calling us to get married. And it's leading up to that. These are good things. Momentum grows and grows and grows. This is where you need to be careful. This is probably, at this stage in your courtship, is where you need accountability more than ever. And you needed it all along. Our emotions, our physical attraction, if we're not strong and alert and have that accountability from the outside, we can fall. We can fall and do what we thought we would never do. We will do what modern dating produces. An intimate marital relationship without being married. So keep 1 Thessalonians 4:6 at the forefront, all the more at this stage. There's nothing wrong with your desires. There's nothing wrong with your passions. But they need to be kept in check. Scripture calls Christians to flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 6. not see how difficult we can make the temptation and prevail. You will at this point still need very clear boundaries set for yourselves in your relationship. And then make sure you stay within those boundaries. Our flesh, our feelings, our desires, they'll take over. They will. To our shame. To our own hurt. You don't want that. So tap into the grace of God. You will need to tap into the grace of God. All right, so it progresses. And I'm sorry for making it so brief, but it progresses, and the day comes, and the young man, I stress again, the young man asks the young lady, or that young single man asks the single lady, will you marry me? Oh, I mean, now you're vulnerable all over again. Things have been going pretty good till now, but whew. I remember going to the cucumber field and asking my now father-in-law if I could date my wife. That was nerve-wracking. But when the day came, we were talking marriage, and I went to him, and I asked him, and he knew it was coming. And I went to his house solely for that purpose. I was going to ask for his blessing to have her hand in marriage. And poor, poor Henry. I tell you, I was already nervous. And I come in onto the yard. I go into the house, and not long after I'm in the house, you know, I'm not just going to drop it like a bombshell. And so you're in the house for a little bit, and my father-in-law, all of a sudden, he's gone. He's out of sight. Oh, man. So, well, I'm not going to play, I'm not playing tag here, but after a bit, I also go outside. And I go to the shop, and no, he's not there. And I, okay, go around to the back of the shop. There's a chicken coop there, and oh, there he is. And this is, you know, obviously strange, but he knew what was coming, but I'm walking there to him by myself. There's no Susie beside me. And so finally I asked, you know, I says, I have a question for you. Would you consent, would you give your blessing for me to marry Susie? There, talk about vulnerable. I didn't know how he would respond. This was not a common practice. Like I said earlier at the beginning, he didn't grow up this way. And he felt, I think now my father-in-law felt a little out of place that I would do this. But then he looked at me, paused. It wasn't an answer like that. But then he did, I guess, made a typical comment that maybe many a man would. He says, well, I guess you're both of age and you know what you want. And then he gave me one admonition. Take care of her. Basically in those words is what he told me. In Plotich, but take care of her. And that told me she was of great value to him. And off we were. Engaged, right? Ready to make wedding plans. So you get to that young man, you ask her, and she says yes. Now what do you think about? Now what do you talk about? What do you do with your time now, right? I'm going to give a suggestion that might sound a little bit backwards. Obviously, you're going to spend a lot of focus and time on planning your wedding. But I'm going to suggest here, first off, look for someone from within the church of either one of you to give you some premarital counseling. This will include some of the more personal, intimate conversation type. But look for someone to do that. Again, keep your boundaries very, very clear. Don't lose sight of not wanting to defraud. You're not married yet. In your mind, you might be already, but you're not married yet. That's reality. One thing I have failed to talk about is that we believe, and I want to just mention it here, we believe in hands-off courtships, and I believe even at this stage it should be a hands-off courtship. It would have been safer to hold hands on the first date than it is now towards the last. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, I think it is, Paul says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. It's not that women are poisonous. It's not that we're going to pick up some kind of a disease shake hands or hold hands, but it's not good for the emotional reasons. Especially when emotions are heightened to this level. So I'm going to give you this suggestion. Make good use of your engagement by using it to do more than just preparing for the wedding. Take some time to actually prepare for marriage. Get solid biblical marriage counseling. Could be your pastor. Use that time to meditate on marriage as a relationship and as a picture of the way Christ relates to his church. Meditate on it. What does God want from us? What kind of picture are we supposed to be giving? Meditate on these things. Do more than just the details of the wedding day. Prepare for marriage. Maybe read some good books, solid books on marriage. Purposely talk about things that you think you might differ on. Again, alluded to it before, but it's crucial if they're still there, if there's still some things that, or maybe some new things that popped up. Talk about those things. Make deliberate effort to address issues that you know or think could possibly exist. In my opinion, less of your engagement time should be spent planning the wedding and more preparing for actual marriage. Now that's a little bit backwards. That's we think maybe a little different because we like the details of the wedding day. But remember this. A wedding is not primarily about two people getting married. It's not primarily the bride's special day, though it is a special day for her. It's not primarily the groom's rite of passage into Christian manhood, though it is that. But it's not primary. The wedding day is a day, a special day, yes, but it's a day just like any other day in the Christian life that is primarily about honoring God. A wedding is a worship service in which two people happen to get married. So as you plan the songs, the music, the preaching, and all the other aspects of your wedding service, keep in mind that it is ultimately an event of worship before God. Please do not run off on your own in some of these details. They're important. They are. But don't run off and do your own thing. I highly suggest that you run your thoughts and ideas by your parents and someone from the local ministry for approval or disapproval. Even at this stage, you're engaged and you're planning for that excited day. Make yourself vulnerable by presenting your thoughts and ideas and plans to your authorities. In the end, keep the event, keep that day simple. Keep it humble. Keep it worshipful. Worshipful. That should be your goal. Too many couples put tremendous energy and cost into some of the details that really don't matter. This adds unnecessary stress and tension for the engaged couple. Don't neglect your marriage before it even starts. Focus on the important things, more so. A simple wedding will allow you to have a short engagement, which in most cases is a good thing. Prolonged engagements are not good. Steps one and running to base two should be, step one, step two should be longer than the engagement period. When you go from third to home, that should be the shortest part of the event, in my opinion, because of the heightened emotions and physical passion and attractions and all of that. So as you plan your wedding, don't put your emphasis, I say this one carefully, but there seems to be a trend in our day where the emphasis is being put on being different than any other wedding I've ever been at. Why? Well, you want a unique wedding. I understand that. But somehow putting the emphasis on being different, having a different wedding than anyone else, is off focused. I'm going to tell you that every wedding is somewhat unique. Your wedding day will naturally be different from all other weddings because it's you getting married, not others. Now a word of advice. You've gotten married and you have the wedding trip, the honeymoon. I think it's a good idea for the young couple to get away. If at all possible, go on that wedding trip. It's a good thing. Not a necessary thing, but a good thing. But keep in mind that on this trip, your primary goal is to glorify God in all that you do and to really get to know and appreciate each other. That's your two primary goals on this trip. On this trip, you don't engage in activities that your church body wouldn't endorse. We've seen some of these things happen. That's why I'm mentioning these things. On this trip, you wear the same clothes that you would wear if you're at home. Clothes that are God-honoring. Clothes that meet the practice of the church. Again, we've heard honeymooners, they get out of the church, they get away from, they're married, and the man puts on shorts and a tank top or something along that line, and the woman puts on pants and takes off the veil because, well, we're on our honeymoon, and it's not right. You want to honor God on your honeymoon. That's the primary goal. Honor God and get to know each other. So in conclusion here then this morning, your courting relationship and progression to marriage may look different from some of the practical details and suggestions that I've given here this morning. That may happen. Very likely will happen. But I want to ask you to keep in mind some of the core principles, no matter how it looks, you know, variation from what I've described here this morning. Remember the principle of holiness. Remember the principle of care for each other. Caring for that other person's soul above your own needs. Remember the principle of not defrauding one another. Remember the principle of headship order. Don't forget that one. And lastly, I would say, remember the picture that God wants you to display to the world and how He relates to His church. Remember that principle. This is principles that should build your marriage now. They've built your courting relationship to the point of where you're married. Now they need to build your marriage. Ultimately, all of these things are for the glory of God and not you as a couple. For the glory of God. And we will leave it there. May God add His blessing.